This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to today's episode of The Diary of a Da'i. Today we have yet another Da'i with their unique presentation and what they're offering to the Ummah and to the communities of America. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today we have a sister with us, but not just any sister. This sister is a biology teacher in a school, a non-Islamic school, but a local school in Southeast Michigan, a very active youth leader in her community, mashallah, tabarakallah. She actually brought Al Maghrib Institute, which is an institute that I'm sure you're all familiar with. She brought that chapter to Michigan, mashallah ta'ala, and led it for about 3+ years and is currently serving as an advisor there, mashallah. But now, most importantly, and what we want to like speak about for the rest of the interview, Du'at founded a non-for-profit organization called Ummah Movement Institute. And its name is exactly what it's doing. Ummah Movement Institute is intended to empower visibly Muslim women, right? And giving them workshops and helping them with their careers and helping them give back in their communities, strengthen their identities, mashallah. UMI, what I'm going to call Ummah Movement Institute from now on, UMI, alhamdulillah. You know, these acronyms, sometimes they flow around, so I just want to clarify it from the beginning. She has these power talks. It's a podcast that UMI offers, mashallah, when they speak about, like, they have raw conversations about, you know, things that, like, these taboo type of topics, right? And things that nobody really talks about, alhamdulillah, and I'm sure they've been very effective. If you never heard of them, you should be tuning into them from now on, inshallah ta'ala. She was also a consultant in some famous brands that you may have heard of. One of them is, yes, I'm hot in this. I don't know if you ever saw that. I think I saw a coffee cup. My wife got it one day, and it was all black, and in white it says, yes, I'm hot in this. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I'm like, subhanAllah, because that's what everybody's wondering, right? Imagine a hijabi walking in, it's like 100 degrees outside, and she's wearing, mashallah, full hijab. She comes in with a coffee cup, and it says, yes, I'm hot in this. Isn't that cool? It's like, wow, you know, the answer to the question that you may be thinking of. Another one is treat you better. Treat you better is for it's a woman-owned cookie shop, and they do cookie sales, mashallah, also intended to empower Muslim women, mashallah, tabarakallah. And Hijabi Coach, it's a career consulting group, alhamdulillah. And there's so much more. This sister's so active, mashallah. She's been running halakas for almost 15 years right now, and I can't finish, you know, it's like such a long introduction. Now, with our guest for today, Sister Du'a Fahmi, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu.
First, I want to apologize for the long introduction. I know some people don't like that, but inshallah, we'll just kick it off because, look, you're from Southeast Michigan. We're all the way here in Dallas, Texas, so we got to let people know who we're bringing on to the show, right? So forgive us for that. Today I want to ask you a question. Now, you're doing a lot of work, mashallah, tabarakallah. And you're on many different fronts, especially on the sisters' front of things, which is kind of neglected a lot of times in communities. But mashallah, you're helping the sisters a lot in your community. And this is something we want to spread to different communities all over the United States, inshallah ta'ala. So did you wake up one day and say, yeah, I want to make this UMI project. I want to move the Ummah or start Ummah Movement Institute. Or did something happen to you where it inspired you to do it?
I mean, I think it all began with a very, very simple task. I think the very beginning in my activities, I used to go to a halaqa at the masjid and I loved it. I was very involved. I loved the halaqa leader. And then one day the halaqa leader was like, all right, I'm out. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, how are we going to continue? And I would almost beg her on a weekly basis to come back, and she would say, when you do a halaqa for my little girl, then I'll come back. And I was like, I don't know anything. How am I going to do a halaqa? And actually, going to an Al Maghrib class before we had Al Maghrib here was probably one of the first like things to me that signaled, hey, I can do this. Not because I knew a bunch of things, but I took imperfect action and I just started the halaqa, and I just kind of kept it up. And then because I do halaqa for girls, I just saw consistent issues, consistent problems. And it was tiring that I was literally answering the same questions every single time. So it was kind of something that came in the flow of things as I was working with the girls, as I was working in the masjid and just being super active. Opportunities came up where we wanted to do conference for women, that you know it's a generic thing that people say, like, let's do a women empowerment conference. And that didn't sit well with me because I was like, we're not even doing the work at home. Like, we're not even empowering the women individually for us to have them come together and empower each other. And so I felt that we were going about it all wrong. I mean, not to say that women empowerment conferences aren't good, they are, but I felt that there needed to be a more individualistic approach. And so that's where Ummah Movement came about, it's a preventative program. Oftentimes we have programs for Muslim women that are reactionary, like after they've gone through like domestic violence, for example, which is the typical response, or after something has happened in their family, we respond. But why don't we just put our efforts before the action, and we empower these women to build themselves up before anything like that were to happen? And so that's the purpose, and that's kind of how it evolved. It's just a slow process.
That's beautiful, mashallah. That's very inspirational. So, and this is something I want everyone that's watching, especially if you're young, if you're in high school, if you're in college, what we get from what Sister Duaat said in the last 3 or 4 minutes is that she saw a problem and she got up and did something about it. She didn't just say, hey, this is the problem. She just kept complaining. She's like, hey, I need to do it the way I think it's right. And if it's right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put barakah in it and is going to give me success. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, this is the message that I want everybody to get out of this. Jazakumullah khair. That was very inspirational. But I'm going to ask you something from a different point of view. Right now, you wear hijab, alhamdulillah, and your Islam is visible. People can see you and just associate you with Islam, unlike a lot of the men. You know, men can be seen, but you know, perhaps can work in a place for 10 years and not be known to be Muslim, right? Whereas a sister, the first day she walks in for an interview, like, she'll be like, oh, she a Muslim, right? Just by her hijab. So it's obviously more challenging. You work as a biology teacher in a non-Islamic school, right? And you teach probably mostly non-Muslim students. How did that settle in with your students? Did it give them a positive image of you or a negative image of you? How'd you deal with it? Are you like the cool teacher because you have a hijab on? You know, how'd you like maneuver?
I think it all begins with really trusting yourself and trusting who you are and accepting who you are completely, because this school that I teach at is one of the top schools in Michigan. It's highly coveted, very difficult to get into, and very rigorous. And so when I came in, of course I wanted to work for a school like this, but I also didn't want to put myself in a situation where I was going to hurt me internally. I'm a very confident person, but that doesn't mean I'm going to willingly put myself in a situation where I'm going to hurt myself. So
of course,
I did the interview. They were interviewing me as much as I was interviewing them. So I had actually asked questions that were not just about my hijab, but just about my views in general. That they were, are they open to these views, you know, that have to do with a lot of social injustices, and if I can incorporate that in my lessons as a biology teacher. And the fact that I got hired, I was shocked, because I was like, did I just mess this up, or did I just, you know, give myself a way to really, like, get in and be my whole self? And when I got hired, I was like, yeah, I did good. You know, I was really excited, not because I got the job, but because I was my true self in the interview. Yeah. You know, I completely put myself 100%. So coming in was difficult. I'm not going to act like it was refreshing. It was not refreshing.
Of course,
because I generally work with minority groups. I've worked in Detroit before that. I worked in a Islamic school before that. And so it was very weird to have a population of teachers that were primarily white, but my student base is all minorities. And I don't want to say that they completely understood when they saw me, or that they felt like, oh my God, it's someone who's an other. And that was their kind of their doorway to connect with a teacher. And it might have been that, but I also try to use a lot of relationship building. So one of the first things I do, and this is just as a person in general, when I meet someone new, I try to learn a lot about the person I'm talking to. So one of my first assignments with my students is for them to create a whole PowerPoint about themselves. One of the first things I do before I introduce all of the stuff that we have to do in class is talk about myself from A to Z. I talk about why I wear a scarf. I talk about how they might see me pray, you know, if they come in between classes. I will be my 100% authentic self. And I think that people in general, and students for sure, really appreciate that kind of personality.
And
then they are able to open up and become themselves as well.
It's just genuineness. You know, I think everybody appreciates genuineness, right? You're not trying so hard to like fit in, hey, this is me. This is what I stand for. And you know that comfort with your identity is what makes other people comfortable with you, if you know what I mean. You know, a lot of times high schoolers feel like, wow, you know, everybody's doing this, I gotta get on it. Everybody's trying this, I gotta try it. Everybody's wearing this, I gotta wear it, right? But what they don't know is that, you know, when you just follow the trend, you won't get as much credibility in the eyes of people as, you know, actually being proud and comfortable with your own identity and just being you. And subhanAllah, it's as if, I feel like, you know, being genuine always attracts genuine people. If you know what I mean. I don't know, like, this is from my experience. I feel like genuineness attracts genuine people, so you end up making genuine friends. You know, but fakeness makes you attract fake people. So that's why, you know, a lot of the youth go through these like issues, you know, with bad friends and people betraying them, backstabbing them, backbiting. You know, it really affects them, betrayal and whatnot. That's because they, you know, you're trying so hard to please them, but they aren't the pleasable type of people, right? So it's always good to be genuine. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that's beautiful. But I don't know how you mix biology with civil, you know, activism. That's interesting.
Anything, civil justice. The pandemic actually helps prove that.
Right? It's
oh,
not
yeah,
like the cell membrane and all that stuff in biology.
It's so tied in. You'd be surprised. I could probably teach a whole course about it in college if I wanted to.
Akbar. That's amazing. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. So now with another thing, now with UMI, right? UMI, Ummah Muslim, Ummah Movement Institute, mashallah, I'm sorry about that. So UMI is a great institute, mashallah, and it's doing some great work out there, empowering women and doing some things that we're not accustomed to seeing, you know, like fighting or tackling misogynism within our own cultures, right? Because we come from different cultures, and those cultures can, you know, don't necessarily have the best customs, right, or the best tradition, especially like when it comes to misogynism and whatnot, and they come here to the West, and you know that needs to be fixed. And you're like a catalyst to this process, mashallah, tabarakallah, and that's a great thing. But now, a lot of people, especially people with a certain mindset, if you know what I mean, would look at an institute like this and think or feel like, okay, this is one of those liberal or progressive type movements, you know, meant to liberate the woman from this or from that, and eventually from her religion to begin with, so that there's no deen at all, you know. Do you feel like you had to compromise certain Islamic values with this institute, or no? Do you feel like you're upholding it and you're preaching orthodox, 100% accurate Islamic tradition?
Okay, before I answer that question, I want to touch base on something that you had said. I think a lot of people think that misogyny is, you know, an overseas problem. And it is not. It is so alive in the U.S. I work in a non-Muslim, pure, mostly white school. And I can tell you, that was one of the first things that hit me hard. Was just how misogynistic white men specifically can be. Okay, so it's not actually rooted in a culture. I would say it's a world problem. I just want to clarify that I don't think it's a Arab 100%. Issue or a Desi issue or whatever your culture might be. It's actually lodged in everything, in every single culture. The problem is it looks different in every culture. And
it manifests itself differently. It's the same mindset, but it, like, the way it manifests itself in every society is different.
I think that Muslims are hypersensitive about this because we've been under attack about these things when it comes to hijab and what it looks like, and that's oppressive and so and misogynistic. We've been given that narrative, and we have the responsibility to accept it or not. And I'm telling you that that's, you know, even if you're like, no, it's not oppressive. The thing is, don't respond to that. Don't even respond to that question, because then you're saying that misogyny is only a problem in our culture. And that's not the case. It's a problem worldwide. Now, to go back to your question, the whole reason we wanted to start this was because it's not that we're against feminism. Feminism is a powerful movement, but there is something called white feminism, and that is it's a movement that is based off of the perspective of a white a white perspective of what is considered liberating and what isn't. And recently, the POC community has really been trying to take back that narrative and say, feminism to me looks like XYZ. And we're part of that movement where feminism in conservative Islam looks like XYZ. And this is what we're trying to achieve in Ummah Movement Institute, is we're trying to create this sense of acceptance of self, and not a reactionary approach to other people telling you what you should and shouldn't do. And on top of that, when people talk about misogyny, oftentimes they are talking about how other people treat them. But I can tell you one of the biggest problems women face is their own limiting beliefs, their own negativity towards themselves. And this isn't for anybody to use against them. This is something so that they can self-reflect and approach themselves in a better manner so that they can achieve whatever their potential is. Oftentimes, women are the ones who bring themselves down, and sometimes other women down. And our role is to identify that and be able to have a lot of self-talk and self-reflection and that support, the female support, to push each other to achieve what we can and want to do.
100%. Yeah, and then I like how you redefine things, because a lot of times, you know, like these terms like cultural misogynism and feminism and all these isms, you know, they need to be defined, and they need to be defined good, because we can be in a sitting and 10 people can be talking about feminism, and you'll have 10 different ideas of what feminism is in the same room. And you could be talking about the same thing for 10 hours and not get to any conclusion because you're talking about 10 different things, right? So I love how you just defined it from the beginning. And alhamdulillah, we can give an Islamic perspective of feminism, you know, because there are some good things in feminism, right, in empowering women, but there are obviously some things that are contrary to Islam as well. And those things have to be like kind of filtered out and explained to the women why this is out and why it's for their own good, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it this way for your own good, you know? And just like that, like defining that and putting everything in its nisab, in its place, is always a great practice, mashallah, tabarakallah. So I love the work so far. And so now I'm sure a lot of the youth are out there thinking what they can do for their communities to do what you're doing in your community in Southeast Michigan. Like, what advice would you give our young sisters specifically, and our youth in general that are like tuning in with us today?
Okay, well, first I'm going to tell you to follow us at omemove.org on our website, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, so that you can be part of the discussion, because one of the first things that you need to do is a lot of self-reflection of what you can give to the community. A second thing that I suggest you do is get a mentor. Attach yourself to somebody or somebodies, because it's very often times that we don't have one person that can provide all of that support for us, but several people who can guide you. And you ask them questions and help them push you to where you want to see yourself. And then thirdly, I mentioned this earlier, take imperfect action. Mm-hmm. You have an idea, go do it. You don't need anybody's permission to do it, but we all need guidance. I can tell you, it's kind of funny how you said, you know, so we can sit around a table and talk about what feminism is and isn't in the Muslim community, and we would be talking for hours. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Exactly. We were talking for hours trying to define and calculate exactly what this means to us and what it is and what it isn't. And so sometimes your idea, you started out imperfectly, but that doesn't mean you help it. You stop there and just keep on doing it imperfectly. You grow and you have to get better from feedback and ideas from other people. Do not wait for the shaitan to give the shaitan time to tell you, you know, who are you? It's not like you know anything. Mm-hmm. What are you going to get? You're not going to be the next, you know, woman that's going to be, or man that's going to change the world. Why listen to that negative talk, you know, when you can just do it, and then at least you could say, I did this. It doesn't matter how bad it was, you did it, and that's better than not doing it. And that's my advice.
Allah jazakum khair. Thank you so much for the advice. That's a beautiful piece of advice, just to get up and do it, you know, make it work and think about perfecting it later, you know, or as it goes. Right? And that's what they always tell me, you know, just do something, get it to work, and then start, you know, perfecting it afterwards. Right? Michelle, especially the IT folks.
I have like analysis paralysis. Have you heard? When somebody told me that, I was like, that is the definition of me. You know, sometimes you need someone to kind of slap you in the face and just say, just do it. Okay?
Just do it. Yeah.
Stop and do it.
Exactly, and subhanAllah, and it works a lot of the time. And if it doesn't work, what's beautiful about Islam, you know, when you're not Muslim and you're not doing stuff sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you fail, you could be like, I suck, I'm not good, I just wasted time, I wasted money, I wasted energy, I wasted my faith. But you know what? When you're working with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're not wasting anything, because it's all going to be on your scale on the Day of Judgment as if it worked 100%. So do not ever think you're going to lose with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, that's beautiful, just having that mindset. Allah jazakum khair. Sister Dua, I'd like to thank you for coming to the program, inshallah. I really hope you enjoyed it, because I personally enjoyed it, and I hope my viewers enjoyed it. Definitely do sign up, follow, and go get on social media and follow UMI, right? Ummah Movement Institute. I want you guys to follow, like, look it all up, you know, on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube, and follow the podcast. I want you guys to be on it. Anything that benefits you is something that Epic Masjid is with 100%, and this is why we're facilitating these talks. Sister Dua, jazakumullah khair for tuning in, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from you. حياكم الله. And with that, inshallah, we're going to end the episode today. Do not forget to leave a thumbs up if you like what you heard, and leave a comment on the bottom, inshallah, if you liked it. Definitely motivate us. Your comments keep us going, inshallah ta'ala. And share the video. Share and get the ajr. Because it's like a domino effect of ajr. You know, you could send it to one person. Man, this is deep. You know, help me out. You send it to one person, and that person sends it to like 100. And then the 100 to 100, it's like this whole like pyramid thing, right? But you get the reward for every single person who sent it after you. It's like a domino effect of ajr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it on your scales on the Day of Judgment. If you didn't subscribe, please do subscribe. And do not forget to tune in next week with the Diary of a Da'i. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
واذكروا الله في أيام معدودات فمن تعجل في يومين فلا إثم عليه ومن تأخر فلا إثم عليه لمن اتقى واتقوا الله واعلموا أنكم إليه تحشرون.